Book of 1 Chronicles, and I'll be reading 1 Chronicles chapter 17. I was, my first mission trip ever, well, this must have been, I'm going to say this is 15 years ago, and I was in central Mexico. Mexico was a lot poorer back then. Mexico's gotten a little nicer since then, and I was in a poor, it was a pretty poor part of Mexico. And actually, funny enough, it's not a well-known town, but I was in a city there, and I knocked on a guy's door 2 weeks ago that was from that very city in Mexico. But I was there, and I was the first visitor to this missionary there, and I think he had one missions board person from his missions board come. And anyway, just trying to be a help to them, and we preached and had some great services, and the Lord worked. And after the service, we were done, and we had an amazing service. I mean, everybody was down at the altar and crying. It was just an amazing service, and God really worked powerfully. And afterward, I just people saying hi to me. I don't know what they're saying, and I didn't happen to have a translator with me at the time, and you know, I could kind of figure out a little bit of it, but my Spanish wasn't that great yet. And a couple of elderly Spanish ladies came by and shook my hand and put in my hand pesos, bills of money. So anyway, I'm like, no. And I tried to get back to them, and they'd have none of it. And so later on, I told a pastor, and I said, this lady, they gave me some money. I said, how much is it? I said, it's this much here. How much is that? I don't know how much it is. And it was about $25 between the two of them. And he said to me, I can't believe they gave that to you. You don't know how poor they are. He says, those ladies are so poor. He says, they barely get their food. You know, of course, and I felt like a heel. And said, boy, I'm a blessing here on the mission field, taking poor people's food and going back to America and staying fat. I felt terrible. But they wanted to. They wanted to. Now, of course, I go now to the third world all the time, and that's the way people are in the third world. It's just hard for me to adjust back to America. Because they got so much, it's unspeakable how much they have, and yet they would, Americans are like, listen, yeah, look, I look at most Americans, you're not about to starve to death, okay? You got lots, you can go through a famine, and you're still okay for a while. And as a matter of fact, you're probably better off. I look at that, and I think that the attitude is what I want to talk about tonight. It's a weird message, kind of a different message. 1 Chronicles 17, title of the message is, This is for you, Lord. This is for you, Lord. 1 Chronicles 17, verse 1, Now it came to pass, as David sat at his house, that David said to Nathan and the prophet, Lo, I dwell in the house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell David my servant, Thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in an house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked all the days of Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I have commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have ye not built me an house of cedars? Now therefore thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheep goat, even from following sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. Let's pray, we'll talk about it. It's for you, Lord. Father, speak now, and I pray that thy spirit would work powerfully, and you'd help us to have, really it's your heart, have David's heart. He is a man after your own heart. And maybe think the right way. Maybe understand our hearts and understand the right way of thinking. And not what we're taught and not what the media has told us, not what everybody around us acts like, but maybe just get the mind of Christ. And Lord, this truth that I think is very deep and very important, I pray that we would understand it, even the small children, every one of us, Lord. May we be helped tonight through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord talks here in this chapter about, basically, God dwelt in the Ark of the Covenant, and God said, I dwell there in a tabernacle, which is a big, giant tent. And that tent, of course, would wear out. This has been hundreds of years since they built the first tabernacle with Moses. Now we're up to David now. And in between, there had been tabernacle after tabernacle, and wherever God's people were supposed to be, then, and the Levites and Aaron and the priests were, then that's where the tabernacle was, and it wore out, and they got a new one, and it was a beautiful as you can make a tent. It was a tent. And then David got established. He became king. He got a nice kingdom. And then he got a very beautiful house made out of cedar from the cedars of Lebanon and from gifts. And he built this beautiful, majestic house of wood and cedar. And of course, that was kind of the nicest house back then. And he looked around at his house and said, man, what a beautiful house. And I went from being a shepherd boy to this, and I'm blessed. But you know what? I'm dwelling in this kind of house, and God's still staying in a tent. Remember, God dwelt between the cherubims, the mercy seat. The mercy seat was in the tabernacle, and there was that tabernacle. And that's, God asked him to build that until they were going to build a temple someday. But he said, I'm going to dwell in this tabernacle. That's all that God told him about was the tabernacle, and that's what they lived in. And never another word about it. God said, build this tabernacle. They built it. He lived in it. And there he went, and he says that I literally just walked around with you guys in it. And let's see, if you look down at verse 6, whithersoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people. He says, wherever I went with you guys, and I was with you guys, I was with Israel. I was dwelling on the Ark of the Covenant, and I was there. But he says, the Lord said, that's right, well, it was okay. But what did David do? David looked and said, look at my house. God is in a tent, and I'm in a house. And then he said, you know what? I'm going to build God a house. I'm going to build God a beautiful house to dwell in. And he said, I want to build God something nice. I want to do that. Now, eventually the temple was built. David didn't build it. But I want to say the whole message is this, and then I want to illustrate a lot in the Bible here, is the Lord never said a word. David was thinking about the Lord. To me, that's very profound. My pastor from Oregon was talking about a pastor from Indiana, and he was, you know, a real patriarch and the pastor in Indiana, and he was saying, what keeps you motivated? Interesting thing he said this and this and this, and he said, and I feel sorry for God. He says, what do you mean you feel sorry for God? He says, man, a lot of people treat God wrong, and the Lord just takes so much abuse from people. He can't hurt God physically, but I mean, all that he does for people, and they just kind of take him for granted and play games and play church and use his name in vain, and all the things that even people who know better, they do things. I just feel sorry for God. That's pretty profound. Because I want to understand this. Most of us are only thinking about, what can God do for me? How can God bless me? God, I need you to help me out of this. And that's fine. And it's biblical. And God helps us. And God blesses us. And the Bible, and he claims that. And he says, I own that. I'm a very present help in time of trouble. Okay? He says, I am that. I want to help you. I want to bless you. I want to walk to you in your storm in the ocean. I am that. That's fine. And here's the thing. God's not presumptuous. There are some of you, and it's a good virtue. It can almost become a detriment. It's me. Okay? You hate, you despise asking for help. You would rather, whatever the consequences are, than ask for help. Okay? I know that. I'm like that. As a matter of fact, if somebody comes up and offers, I have had to die to myself and beat myself into saying they need to help for the cause of Christ. I don't like asking for help. I needed help. It was something out of my control, and it was for somebody else, and it was several years ago, and it was just an emergency situation, and I called somebody's in a different state, and I had just several things that had to happen, and I called several people, and I said, I need your help. I need this, and everybody I called was so stunned that I called and asked for help. They went through hoops. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable what they did, because I never asked for help, but I couldn't do anything, and I had to ask for the help for somebody else, and it was an emergency and a terrible situation. And I told the person afterward, I said, you better make good on this, because I've never done that. I've saved that for something. Okay? Now, it's not bad to ask for help, by the way. It's biblical, you know, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. There's a lot of things where you can ask for help. And sometimes you need help. And sometimes God will put you in a situation where you just finally have to ask for help. Okay? And that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But I want to say, God is up there in heaven, and there's nothing about God that says, everything in God's approach is about you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't do that for him. Okay, he did it for you. And the Lord is always about, what do you need? How can I help you? How can I be a friend to you? How can I be a blessing to you? And God never says in the Bible, why doesn't anybody ever think about me? So here's David all of a sudden saying, I'm dwelling in this beautiful house. God's dwelling in the tent. And David thought about God and how God was doing. And what was happening to him and how he was doing. You ever just stop and think about how the Lord's doing? How he's feeling? Instead of saying, man, if I do this, it'll probably make me feel bad. No, how will this make Jesus feel? Getting yourself out of the natural selfishness. And if you ever get in one-way relationships, and you get into them, okay? You're in one-way relationships. You are blessing somebody else. They are not thinking the least bit about you or anything about you. They're just thinking about what they can get from you. You know what I'm talking about? You know what relationships are? You're helping them financially, and they don't think about you paying your bills or what you need or you wanted to buy some of that money. All I can think of is money. He can help me. And those one-way relationships, we don't like those. We say, you're just using me. Well, do we do that to God? Do we ever think about how God's doing? How he's feeling? And David said, I want to build God a house. And the Lord says in Nathan the prophet, of course, God heard David's thoughts and said, go give a talk to David. I want you to talk to David about this. And God kind of says, wow, you thought about me? Wow, you're a man after my own heart. And he thought about that. David was told, and it's interesting because I don't want to get bogged down in the story. I just want that thought to be our thought tonight. But God said, you're not going to build a house. I'm not choosing you, but I need a house. I've never complained a word. God says that. He said, I've never said a word about dwelling in the tent. I've been with you. I've been in the tent. I've been through tent after tent. They keep on making a new one. I'm fine with it. Watch how God says this. Verse 5, for I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought up Israel unto this day, but I've gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Whithersoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have you not built me an house of cedars? See, God's saying, I didn't ask for this. I never said a word about having a nice house of cedar. But David, you thought of that. You thought of that. You know what? We're gonna have this house built, but you're not gonna be the guy to do it. I've had a job for you. You've been a man of war. You've been through all kinds of things. But I am gonna do something mighty in this. I'm going to bless you, and I'm gonna keep it in the family. Your son is gonna build me a temple, and that temple is the idea of it, and the design of it we're going to have drawn up, and that temple will last all the way until literally the end of time, till Jesus comes back, because they're going to rebuild the temple. And he says, it's very important. This temple is very important. And he says, I'm going to bless you in many ways. And watch how he says, David, I blessed you. Verse 8, I've been with you whithersoever thou hast walked, and cut off all your enemies. I've done all this. And I also ordain, I will ordain a place for my people, verse 9. Verse 10, and since that time I commanded the judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee, Nathan talking to David from the Lord, that the Lord will build thee an house. Now, God's not talking about a physical house here. He says, it's going to come to pass that when thy days are expired, that thou must be go to be with thy fathers, and I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever, and I will be his father, and he shall be my son. What did he just say? He said, David, you're not going to build this house, but I want you to know, instead of you building this house, I'm going to build you a house. That house will last forever. And it's not a physical house. Your son is going to be on a throne. He's going to build that house. And I'm going to give you a kingdom and a throne that'll last forever. As a matter of fact, my Messiah is going to come through you. And he institutes a Davidic covenant, the covenant of David, that's going to last forever. When Jesus comes back, he's going to be on the throne of David, it says. Do you think God was pleased with David? What did David do? He thought about God. He said, did God, now wait a minute. Did God command David to build him a house? Nowhere. It was not commanded, just something he wanted to do to please the Lord. After that, God was always concerned about David. 1 Kings, let's go to 1 Kings. 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles run together. They're a lot of the same periods of history. And but look what God keeps saying in 1 Kings and chapter 11. Solomon, his son, messes up. But look at verse 12. 1 Kings 11, 12. Notwithstanding, in the 9 days I will not do it for David thy father's sake. He's going to destroy everything. But I will rend out an house out of the son of thy hand. Howbeit, I will not render away all the kingdom, but will give it to thy son for David my servant's sake. God's still saying, I am not going to let the punishment happen that should happen here because of David, who's already died at this time. He's still blessing somebody else and bailing them out because of David. In the verse 32, but he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen. Again, I'm gonna have mercy here because of David. Verse 34, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David, my servant's sake, whom I chose. Okay, we continue on. I'm not going to read all the verses, but we can just go through. A whole bunch of times God says, I am going to be good because of David, not because of you. You have been bad. You deserve punishment, but you're related to David, so I'm not going to do this because of David's sake. Boy, God was concerned about David now. The Lord was taking care of David. He was taking care of his future. He was doing all those things. Now, there are things in the Bible we're commanded to do. And we preach on those, and we will preach on those. And don't steal, and don't kill, and don't lie, and be kind, and love your neighbor, and feed the poor, and help the needy, and treat your family right, and don't commit adultery, and don't be proud, and a whole bunch of commands, and a whole bunch of thous. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And there's just a bunch of things you are commanded to do. There's a bunch of things you're commanded not to do. It's all over the Bible. And those things stand true, and they're important, and that's what we should do. Do what God says to do, and don't do what God says don't do. Those commands are important and vital, and that's the first step of the Christian life, and we should do those things. However, outside of those realms of thou shall and thou shall not, which we should be doing, and you're a good Christian if you do all those things, I just for 1 minute just want you, if you want to step out of those things and say, I'm not commanded to do anything here, but I would like to do this for God. You follow that? Because it sure seemed to impress God. And because doesn't the Lord deserve somebody to be good to him? How many of you, God's been good to you? Raise your hand. How many of you, God's been merciful to you and not giving what you deserve? I know my hand's up. Listen, God's been so good to you. And you'll do great if you just do the thou shalls and thou shall nots. You'll be better than most, let me tell you. And praise God if you're doing that. I just want to say, step out and just say, Lord, I don't have to do this, but I want to for you. Let me take it to 1 John chapter 5. Interesting verse, good verse. 1 John 5. Boy, do I have a lot of things to get to here. But I already preached my whole sermon. I already said what I wanted to say. And so now I got to fill the time to get my quota in. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I want to say, You don't get the Christian life at all if you're saying, do I have to? Oh, why is everything fun unbiblical? It's not. You're just messed up. I come that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly. When you fall in love with Jesus, you are glad to do anything you can for him. I was talking to a pastor, and he was just telling me, he said, my daughters, he had a few girls, he said, my daughters are so spiritual, they are just hoping there's something they can get right with God in. I mean, they're just, they do everything. And they're already, I mean, they do everything right. They're just the best, most innocent, wonderful girls. And if I preach on, you know, don't wear purple polka dots, they'd be down at the altar. I never want to wear purple polka dots. They just want to do something for God. They want to give up anything. They want to do anything to please God. His commandments are not grievous. And let me say, it is an honor and something we like doing. See, the wrong marriage, the husband says, oh, but take care of her and feed her and pay the bills and come home. I tell her I love her all the time. She knows I love her, and what if I tell her? How much roses are a dozen? You know how many tools I could buy with those roses? But you weren't like that when you were madly in love with her. Remember when you were first courting her and you couldn't wait to be with her and do all those things? See, when you're really in love. See, now when you finally cook a meal, it's like, all right, fine, here's your meal. Slam! Hope you enjoy it. Make me cook. I have two of those taking care of kids and doing chores. The commandments are grievous to you because the relationship's wrong. Do you know when you have the right kind of marriage, you wish you could do more for them? Amen. Good preaching. Do you know when you're right with your parents, you want to please them? And when you're wrong, why do they always tell me? See, his commandments aren't grievous. Obeying God, every command's good. Yeah, I remember, I got so sick of some kids sometimes just talking about just their sassy mouth to gain kids and stuff like that. And I just finally said, yeah, you know, they're saying, yeah, you don't get to do this, you don't get to do this. And yeah, you know, it's really too bad. I don't get to go out there and commit adultery, being a gang, get AIDS, go out and give venereal diseases, have a girl that I can't pay for the baby, and go out there and spend the rest of my life in jail. Boy, I'm missing out. Listen. You're not missing out. You get to serve God. His commandments are not grievous. They're awesome. It's wonderful to serve God. He's a wonderful God. He deserves our praise and our honor and wanting to serve him. But sometimes you step out and say, Lord, not only am I going to do this, but I want to do this for you because you're special. If a man, he's been married, and every day he goes to work, he's a good husband. He does the right things. He goes to work. He comes home. He gives a wife a kiss when he comes in the house. And he goes and he takes out the garbage. And he goes and does everything he's supposed to do and changes the light bulbs and everything else. He's a good husband. And on his 25th anniversary, he comes home and said, honey, it's our 25th anniversary. I'm going to give you a kiss. I went to work today for you. And I'm going to change the light bulbs if there's any out. Is there anything else that I need to do? Now, did he do his duty? Yes. Is he going to sleep on the couch tonight? Yes. And why? Because he just did his duty. Okay, let me show you Luke, book of Luke here. Luke 17. But what if all of a sudden it's not the 25th anniversary and he doesn't have to do anything? He doesn't have to do it. And all of a sudden he comes home one day and he comes to her and he brings her a dozen roses and says, you know, I know it's no special occasion. I just want you to know I love you. Ooh. He's going to be a happy boy. No couch tonight. Why? Because he didn't have to do it. He was not underneath the authority of the rolling pin to do it. Okay, and she says, wow, you thought about me? Remember what we're talking about? Luke 17. Most people don't like these verses. They never even realize they're in the Bible. Doth not, verse 9, doth not he that thank that servant because he did those things which are commanded him? I throw, it means think not. So likewise, when you have done those things which are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Don't think you should get thanked if you just do what you had to do and you're commanded to do. There's a lot of things in the Bible that God doesn't tell you to do, but you can do them. How about fasting? I don't know if anywhere in the Bible commands you to fast. It's just something to get the Lord's attention. There's things in the Bible called free will offerings. Now, there's a bunch of offerings you're commanded to do. You had to do them. But there was something called a free will offering where you just said, you know, I want to, Lord, you've been so good to me. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to offer this offering to you. And there's a bunch of instructions about it. Let's just look at Psalm 54. I'm not going to explain to you all the free will offering. It was just something because you just because you wanted to. Psalm 54. Psalm 54, verse 6. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. I got a bunch of verses in the free will offering. I'm not going to turn to all of them. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. You just want to be a blessing to somebody. You ever have somebody write you a note, a handwritten note, and you get it in the mail and say, wow. Just because they thought of you and they wrote you a note. You ever gotten a form letter from somebody that acted like it was a personal letter? And guess what? You're not too impressed, are you? Because they had to send that. I've gotten letters from the president of Chase Bank. I've gotten, and the ink was a different color. So it must have really been them signing it. But you know what? You say to the Lord, in the Bible, it's free will offering. David thinking of, wait a minute, God's in a tent and I'm in a house? The giving of it willingly. These things are just the right attitude. Let's go to one more verse, I think, and we'll talk just a minute longer. 2 Corinthians. Now, don't be this person who just tries to do things, some special thing. Start off with keeping the commandments, okay? Do those things you're already commanded to do. This is just bonus stuff. 2 Corinthians, don't be cute. I mean, just obey the Bible. Go to church, read your Bible, pray, love your neighbor, quit drinking, smoking, chewing, run with those who are doing all those things. You know, stop doing that stuff. But then I want you to just stop and say, you know, Lord, I would like to take my lunch hour every day and just spend time with you. Well, where's the Bible say to do that? It don't. It does not. Bad English. For the English Nazis. And just know I do that occasionally just to tweak you. It's fun to watch about three people go. And so it doesn't say that. You know, Lord, I'm going to give up these clothes. They've been kind of questionable. Lord, this music has just been, you know what? I like this too much. I'm just going to give it up to you. Lord, I'm going to take this time, and every day at this time, I'm going to spend 15 minutes of prayer. Lord, I'm going to give this extra money because you blessed me. I don't have to do this. It's not my tithe. The tithe I'm commanded to do. But I want to give offerings, a free will offering to you because maybe you want to do it because you get blessed. Maybe it's not even to get blessed. Maybe it's just to say, thank you, Lord. Maybe it's just because you say, Lord, how many people really show the extra mile of love towards you? 2 Corinthians and chapter 9. And verse 6, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Sounds like when you cheerfully do extra for God, God's able to make great grace abound toward you, a la David. Why? Because David thought of God. And David said, you didn't command me to build a house, Lord, but you know, you're born in the tent. How about you just say, and so, I can give you ideas. You might fast. You might give extra. You might give some time to God. You might go and say, I'm going to go and do this extra thing. You might just think. Maybe you'll say, every day for 10 minutes, I'm just going to sing praise songs to you, Lord. I don't know what you can do. I'm just saying, take something that's not a commandment. And just say, Lord, I love you this much. And Lord, I'm thinking about you. And you probably had a rough, do you think God ever has rough days? Well, I know that I have rough days and I hear all the garbage. Well, you know, God hears every bit of garbage every day. That's a lot of garbage to hear. How about you just say, Lord, I'm going to try to bless you today. You know what? When I go to bed tonight, I'm just going to fall asleep praising you. Maybe you could say, you know what? I'm tired of people speaking bad about you, God. I'm going to walk up to five strangers and just say, walk up to a stranger and say, I want to tell you how good God's been to me. You know what God did? And just do that. Where does the Bible say to do that? If you're the, where does the Bible say to do that guy? Don't tell me that. It bothers me. Remember the Mexican lady? Didn't have much money, but wanted to give to the cause and wanted to be a blessing. If you're this, show me. Where do they have to do that? There's a lot of things you don't have to do. I just want to do as much as I can for the Lord. I wish I had more money to give to God. I got to pay my bills. Understand that? You got to pay your bills. I get that. But maybe this month you can say, Lord, you know what? Just because I love you, I'm not going to buy any Starbucks this month. I'm just going to give all that to you. Nobody's got tomatoes tonight, fortunately. That was Thursday. Maybe you can just say, Lord, you know, Lord, I've been walking around grumbling. I'm going to spend 3 days. I'm not going to say one negative thing for 3 days. Just for you, Lord. How about, or maybe you can think of something. Maybe you can just think, what would God like? God would like to dwell in a house. David was not commanded. God said, huh? Wow. David, that's pretty impressive. I never asked for a house. I was fine. I'm content. There's my footstool. But you know what? You're thinking, yeah, God's dwelling in a tent and I'm dwelling in a house. Wow. Thanks, Dave, for thinking about me. You know what? I'm going to build you a house forever. David says, I bet I can think of something else to build for you, God. Because he's thinking about the Lord. And I just want to get a better attitude of not what do I have to do and do what you have to do and find out the commandments and do those. But just say, what can I do to just make the Lord feel special and loved and wanted and appreciated? And what can I do for him? And think of the Lord instead of thinking about yourself all the time. And think about how does God hear from you all day? Why? If he hears from you. How about, Lord, you know, I've thought about myself all day and I've been grumbling about it. Lord, you know what? How's your day going, Father? How you doing? Lord, I'm sorry. I want you to know I love you. I love you, Lord. And maybe sing to him. Maybe just, you know what I'm saying? You get the message? Think about God. And not just the commands, but think, what can I do? How's God feeling? What can I do to bless the, you ever hear that verse? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Ever think about blessing God? We think about him blessing us. You might incidentally get blessed because you bless God. But why don't you not do it for that? Say, Lord, if you don't bless me in anything, I'm going to do this just because I want you to feel loved. And he'd probably feel pretty good with all that other things that he had to hear this week. So I want you to think, I wonder, what would make God happy today? What can I do for God? What can I do to show him how much I appreciate him? I want you to think a little bit about that. And I just want this week, all of us to do something to say, Lord, I sure do love you. I don't have to do this, but I want to. Let's pray. And Father, I hope that this message maybe inspired some of us to think like David. Or there's other Bible stories, Father, wanted to get into. How about the woman, Father, that the alabaster box of ointment worth 300 days, worth $30,000. You never asked her to break that and pour it on you. But she did it out of love. That's what she had to give to you. And though it wasn't a command, it sure did please you. Lord, may we be people who seek to please you. And all things are created for your pleasure. And I pray we'd have that attitude. I pray we'd make you happy. I pray we'd just get out of our self-centeredness and make us better Christians anyway. You're a good God. You deserve us to think of you. Thank you, David did it first to kind of give us the idea. Now may we take it and run with it and do something for you. And really think about you to be a blessing to you. And not just how you can bless us. Father, I know we do it. I know we do it a lot. There's something about us humans. It's all about us. But maybe we be thinking about you. And not just do our duty, We pray in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, our eyes are closed.